I speak to you in the name of the glory of the cross. Amen. One of the most solemn moments of the great solemn liturgy for Good Friday is when a wooden cross is borne into the church and placed in the sight of the people. A simple wooden cross, no elaboration, no gold gilt, no fancy words on it, just a simple wooden cross. And for some time, the people rest in adoration before the sign of glory. We look at the cross. We imagine how the love of God could have come to that. We remember the man who hung upon another wooden cross. We even sing, "Faithful cross above all other, one and only noble tree." For people accustomed to participating actively in church, standing, sitting, kneeling, singing, walking to receive communion, embracing each other in peace, Good Friday is largely a liturgy of watching, of adoration, of contemplation, and of respectful distance. But this year, our distanced adoration has become unyielding. For most of us, the best we can do is watch on Facebook, on our computers, our phones, our tablets, as the liturgy is arrayed before us. We are all watchers this year, and it is painful, and it is touching, and it is comforting in a strange way to come to the cross from behind the curtain of our separatedness. During this Holy Week, I have spent time, much of it alone, as with all of you. I have sat on my patio and looked out on a world that is too bright and beautiful for the terrible and fearsome plague overtaking us. I have come to the parish office to prepare the liturgies that a small band of us are celebrating so that we may all be together this way. And I have been reading a book by Harold Bloom, longtime literary critic and professor of English at Yale University. The book, entitled Possessed by Memory, is the last book he wrote before his death at the age of 89. In this book, Professor Bloom wonders how his friends, writers, poets, critics, can be so close to him after they died. How was he so possessed by their writings and by their presence? In a chapter on Hamlet, Shakespeare's play, Hamlet, Professor Bloom writes, "But for Hamlet, the central sorrow is the inability of language to manifest feeling without distortion and destruction both of the self and others." Professor Bloom then quotes Friedrich Nietzsche, not the usual suspect to be quoted on Good Friday. He quotes Nietzsche saying that for which we can find words is something already dead in our hearts. There is always a kind of contempt in the act of speaking. And I was troubled by both Nietzsche's words and those of Harold Bloom. For this is a day on which we search for words to manifest feeling, feeling of sorrow, feeling of relief, feeling of thanksgiving, without more destruction than already spreads its waste. This is a day on which we speak magisterial words of sacrifice, love, and glory. And it cannot be that this is a day of contempt. It is a troubling day. Any execution is troubling, then or now. It is a dark day. Like a partial solar eclipse, this day is bright but dark, as if the shadow has enveloped the world, but we still see. This is a day on which we wrestle with our knowledge of salvation, our faith that somehow Jesus' death, which we sing about, pray about, read about, and sit among the words, hoping they will salve our souls. Our faith that somehow Jesus' death has brought good to the world. And that if we do find words to speak this mystery, it will mean that God is alive in our hearts and not dead. I suspect Friedrich Nietzsche wouldn't much care if I challenge him on this Good Friday. He never had much good to say about the Christian faith. But there is not contempt. There is not contempt today in the words we speak. We listen to the story of Jesus' suffering and death. We let loose solemn and majestic prayers for the church and the world, remembering on this Good Friday the terrible epidemic choking off the world, the many people infected by the virus, the millions, 17 million in this country alone, who have lost jobs and security, the legions of brave and skillful workers tending the sick, keeping our world going. We are in a fearful time, and there is no contempt in speaking our fear, nor contempt in speaking our hopes, nor contempt in speaking our faith. It may be that speaking the words fixes them in their place. We know full well that the mystery of this day lies beyond our best words. We hope that the glory of this day can never be contained in a few words. And we understand that after the words have diminished, it may be the day we should just be silent and linger before the cross and wonder at the great love it bore. Amen.